Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Repco Home Finance Q2 FY26 earnings call hosted by Yes Securities Limited. All participants are currently in listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity to ask questions following the conclusion of the management's opening remarks. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rajiv Mehta from Yes Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Swapnil. Hi, good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining Repco Home Finance second quarter FY26 earnings call. From the management side, we have Mr. T. Karunakaran, MD and CEO, Mr. A. Palapandi, Chief Operating Officer, Mr. P. K. Vaidyanathan, Chief Development Officer, Mr. M. Raja, Chief Business Officer, Ms. Shanti Srikanth, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Ankush Tiwari, Company Secretary and Compliance Officer. Now I request Mr. Karunakaran, sir, to start the call with his opening remarks, post which we can open the floor for Q&A. Over to you, Karunakaran, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Rajiv. Good evening to everyone and warm welcome to the earnings call of Repco Home Finance Limited for the quarter ended 30th September 2025. We appreciate your participation and thank you for joining us today. Before we move into Q&A session, I would like to provide you a summary of the company's performance for Q2 FY26. While the detailed financial results and operational highlights have already been shared in the investor presentation published earlier, for the benefit of all participants who have not had an opportunity to review the financials, I will present a brief update on performance of our company during the quarter before taking Q&A. We are happy to announce that growth momentum seen in the last few quarters has continued in this quarter as well. The company is progressing on its business parameters and is positive of meeting its guideline numbers. The structural changes that have been processed across the organizations are yielding results. Coming to the business, yes, we have disbursed 1,069 crores in the Q2 of current financial year as against 867 crores in Q2 of FY25 and 829 crores in the previous quarter. I'm happy to say that this is the highest ever disbursement in a quarter we have achieved in the history of our company. In fact, in the first quarter in this current financial year, we achieved highest disbursement compared to the first quarter of any other year. And on average, we are able to maintain a stable growth of 22% in disbursements in month on month. Our sanctions stood at 1,206 crores in Q2 FY26 as compared to rupees 926 crores in Q2 of FY25 and 907 crores in the previous quarter of the current financial year. During the current quarter, we have witnessed a marginal reduction in cost of funds in line with our policies, practices, strategy. We have reduced our benchmark lending rate. It's called marginal lending rate to 10% from 10.10% with effective from 1st July 2025. Since our assets are repriced on quarterly basis, benefit of MLR cut passed on to all the customers as end of June 2025. This reflects our commitment to ensuring that our borrowers benefits from rate cuts. The overall loan book stood at 15,033 crores at the end of the September 2025 as against 13,964 crore a year back, registering a growth of 8%. Loan disbursement in the second quarters reflect a strong regional engagement, with Tamil Nadu contributing to 62% to overall disbursements. Karnataka accounted for 11%, followed by Maharashtra at 7%, Telangana at 6%, and Andhra Pradesh at 5%, and while the remaining 9% was dispersed across the state, with notable improvement in Rajasthan, Gujarat, and Madhya Pradesh. Our September 2025 disbursements across all the states where we are present are all-time high disbursements. The ratio of exposure between the non-salaried and salaried segment stood at 53% and 47%, respectively. The share of non-housing loan, that is home equity, stood at about 29% of the loan book, and housing loan contributed to about 71% of the loan book. GNPA amounted to 475 crores as end of September 2025 at 3.16%, as against 552 crores as of September 2024 and 485 crores as of June 2025. The net NPA stood at 225 crores at 1.50%. We have a total provision of 375 crores with a provision coverage ratio of 52.54% for stage three assets. Our systematic and continuous action on delinquent accounts yielding results, which is evinced from reduction in stage two assets. As end of the September 2025, our stage two assets stood at 1,323 crores as against 1,422 crores in previous quarter end. During the COVID period, we restructured loans about close to 790 crores, of which 121 crores already slipped in the NPA. Remaining 408 crores are various stages of asset. Our NIM for quarter Q2 FY26 was at 5.5%. The company has been able to maintain a spread of 3.4% by rising yield to 12.1% despite its stiff competition at our pricing levels. The net profit amounted to 107 crores for Q2 FY26. Our ROA stood at 2.9% and ROE at 13.5% for Q2 FY26. Cost to income ratio for the quarter stood at 28.4%. We have initiated diversification of our borrowing profile. In June, we successfully issued 150 crores of commercial paper. Following our entry into the capital market after a long time, we received a positive response from banks, mutual funds, and other institutional investors for both commercial papers and NCDs. In parallel, we continue to engage with our banking partners and are actively negotiating for reduction in rate of interest. Approximately 6,000 crores of bank borrowings are scheduled for repricing over the next 3 months, and as a result, we anticipate further reduction in overall cost of funds. With respect to refinance facility from National Housing Bank, we have secured a sanction of 150 crores, and we utilize the entire 150 crores. Additionally, we are in the process of submitting a fresh proposal to NHB in the range of 500 to 750 crores. We will provide an update on the progress of this proposal in the next con call. Coming to the branch network, as end of September 2025, we have 234 touch points across the 12 states and one union territory, comprising of 203 branches and 31 satellite centers with additional two asset recovery branches. We are planning to open few more branches before end of this current financial year. Looking ahead of Q3 FY26, we are targeting disbursement of approximately 1,100 crores from 1,069 crores of Q2 of FY26. And we are having a plan to reduce our GNPA from 475 crores to 450 crores in current quarter. And we are expecting reduction in stage two assets to 1,275 crores from 1,325 crores as end of September 2025. We intend to maintain your provision coverage ratios, spreads, and NIMs at level what we reported in the current quarter. Our current provision coverage ratio for stage three asset is 52.50%. We remain comfortable with existing provision coverage ratio and confident in the adequacy of the provision frameworks. We have recruited people with experience in sales, recovery, and collections verticals. With this additional strength, our focus will be on taking the growth numbers to the next level and reducing our overdue accounts. And we are quite positive on this. The company is geared up to achieve the target set for FY26 in terms of profitability, GNPA reduction, disbursement, and AUM growth. We thank each and every one of you for showing interest in our company growth story. Now I open the session for Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may click on the raise hand icon from the participant tab on your screen. We'll wait for the question queue to assemble. We have our first question coming in from Akash Jain of Moneycomps Atlantics. Akash, please go ahead and unmute your microphone.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. First of all, I think huge congratulations on finally doing more than 1,000 crore disbursement, because I think for the last, I think, 8-10 quarters, which is what we have been expecting as investors, and finally we've been able to cross that number. So huge congratulations to the team on that. I have two questions, sir. One is regarding AUM growth and disbursement. So, sir, clearly we are facing huge rundown on our legacy book, it seems, because of the fact that it is obviously an old book, as well as probably we are facing significant BT out pressure, that even after good disbursement growth, we are still not as strong on AUM growth, which is very important from an income perspective. So just want to understand what we need to do to really get to this 10-12 or 12-15% AUM growth number, because how much do we really need to crank up on disbursement and control BT out to really get 10-12% AUM growth? That is the first part. The second part is on the cost. Like, it is quite evident that, like you said in your opening remarks as well, that we have increased the cost base by recruiting people across sales and collections. So can you give us a bit of a breakup? Because there has been a big increase in both employee cost as well as other expenses. So can you just take us a little bit into detail in terms of what has led to this increase both in employee cost as well as in other expenses for this quarter? Thank you.
I'll answer your first question, second question on first. Yes, if you look at employee cost, we have seen an increase in current quarter compared with the June quarter. Yes, we have realigned our, what you call, incentive policy in line with industry practices to motivate employee to do more business, more sales, more recovery, more disbursements, which has resulted in the numbers. So this quarter, we disbursed about 1,060 crores, which is the all-time high disbursements. On account of payment of incentive, our salary cost has gone up. Of course, which is in line with the industry. We made a thorough study how other housing, other NBFCs, HFCs, or what is their incentive structures. We collected the information based on that. We have realigned the incentive structure with this effective from 1st April 2025. Which caused some hike in the salary cost, number one. Number two, this is a silver jubilee year for our company. We started this company during 2000. This is a silver jubilee year for us to honor our sincere long, our employees. We have given honorarium and gifts and all, which caused some expenditure to the salary thing. Of course, last 2 years, we have opened around 32, 35 branches. All the branches, we have provided adequate manpowers. Of course, the business is also coming from these branches. Because of increase in manpower count, also our salary cost has gone up. And finally, last two to two and a half years, we have not exercised any promotion exercise. We have not given promotion to our employees. During this current financial year, we have conducted a promotion to motivate, a promotion exercise to motivate our employee, and we elevated a suitable candidate to next higher cadre. Of course, I have been elevated to, you know well that I have been, earlier I was chief operating officer. I have been elevated to MD like that. All the cadre, we have done an assessment. We have elevated to the suitable candidate to next cadre, which has caused some additional cost. All those things, caused a hike in the salary cost. Coming to your first question, AUM growth. Yes, disbursements are going up. The branches I opened in last 24 months started to giving substantial amount of disbursements. I'm expecting around another, 30% of increase in quarter on quarter disbursements. So now I'm going forward, my disbursement number will go up. Simultaneously, we can see increase in AUM also. A BT outs are under control. If you ask me, last 3 months, this quarter, September quarter, and BT outs are almost in line with previous quarters. We have not seen any increase in BT outs.
Sir, what is the you covered the employee cost bit. What has also led to the increase in the other expenses for this quarter?
Other expenditures, it is not a substantial. If you compare with June, the other expenditure increase is about 60 lakhs or something, which is in line with the increase in the business, as well as we opened 42 branches across the country in last 24 months. All the administrative cost, all we booked in other expenditure. And another one is a silver jubilee year celebration. This is a silver jubilee year for our company. On account of celebrations, we have incurred a certain expenditure. That all, which has resulted in increase in administrative. But this is a one-time expenditure. On account of this, our administrative cost has slightly gone up compared with our previous quarter end.
Sir, as an addition, I think I am, as a shareholder, I personally can say I am extremely supportive of all the steps you are doing in terms of salary hikes and promotions. Because to be honest, I think even earlier, we have been pushing the earlier MD on incentivizing the employees enough, because you can't grow in a highly competitive environment. You can't grow without incentivizing your employees. We have been pushing for the earlier MD to also go to the board for allotment of ESOPs to the employees. I think finally, I don't know whether anything is happening on the ESOP front, but I think unless you pay your employees well and incentivize them well, there is no way we can grow in a hyper-competitive environment like this. So as a shareholder, I am extremely supportive of whatever you are doing in terms of employee motivation. So that's a feedback I want to share with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Akash, for supporting us. This ESOP matter also, prelim discussion started at board level. Let's see how it goes. We'll keep you posted on the update.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much. We have our next question coming in from Vikas Kasturi of Focus Capital. Mr. Kasturi, please unmute your microphone.
Yeah. Good evening, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Okay. Great. So first of all, once again, from my side, sir, hearty congratulations to you. I was personally very thrilled to see the 1,000 crore disbursement number. And so I had a little bit of an extension to what the previous participant asked. Sir, we saw that you disbursed 1,000 crores, but the stage one number went up by only about 400 crores. So my question is, you have guided for 16,000 crore AUM by March 26, end of this financial year. So how much more do we need to disburse to get to that number of 16,000 crore AUM, sir? So that is my first question. And the second is more an observation, sir, more like a request that in the presentation, could you switch from millions to crores? Because even in the language that we speak, we are only talking about crores and not millions. It kind of makes it more easy to read the numbers, sir. These are my two questions.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the suggestion. So we have taken note of. We note to present our investor presentations in crores. Coming to the questions, yes, under BT, how it is under control. We are almost our first answer to first participant and question also. BTs are under control. This September quarter, we have done a disbursement of 1,069 crores. For December quarter, we are targeting a disbursement of close to about 1,100 to 1,150 crores. And March, we are targeting a disbursement of close to 1,350 to 1,400 crores. With that, I am confident of achieving 16,200 crores AUM size by this financial year end.
Okay, got it, sir. Sir, a follow-up question. You had also guided for financial year 28 that we will reach, I think, 25,000 crores, if I'm not mistaken, sir. So that will be a big jump for you. From in 2 years, you will have quite a bit of disbursements to do. So could you just share some initial, what are your initial plans? Like, what are you, how are you planning to achieve that big number, sir?
Because I'll take this question, Raja here. Yes, we have aggressive growth plans on both disbursement and AUM. That is on the organic side. We are also looking at going ahead with some book purchases, which is in the early stages. So by and large, we should be reaching the guidance of 2028. But for this year, maybe it is safe for me to stick on with my current guidance of 16,000 crores. Of course, we are working on that. And we will work towards that very, very aggressively. And we should be able to delight the investors, yes.
Fantastic to hear, sir. And one last question, sir. Our GNPA number for the first half is almost at the same level as where we were at the end of March. And you were also, again, guided for 2.5% GNPA by end of March, which will actually, we need to bring it down to 400 crores, sir. It just looks like a very big target to me, but I think you have it under control. Could you just mention a few things that you're working on that?
Yeah, this is Vaidyanathan, CDO. Sir, for what you said is correct. We are maintaining the same figure as of March, even in September. But we have taken a lot of strategies. We have a lot of steps to reduce the GNPA. See, as we already told in the last quarter, we have posted one general manager exclusively for, say, overseeing the Tamil Nadu branches, and another GM posted for other than Tamil Nadu branches. And we have also created a separate layer, that is recovery vertical managers during this quarter. So they are exclusively monitoring the NPA accounts in all regions. They have been allotted at least 100 accounts. So far, we have posted 25 RVMs. So in the last quarter, we have also introduced a special OTS scheme for the financial year 25-26. So because of these strategies, we are able to reduce GNPA of 450 crores by the end of this quarter, and also we are able to reach the 2.5% as promised by us before March 2026.
In addition to that, we have also strengthened our recovery, I mean, recovery review mechanism on weekly basis. We are conducting a review meetings on specifically on NPA reductions. So we are confident of achieving the numbers what we have given in the guidance.
Fantastic, sir, and wish you all the best to you, Raja sir, and Vaidyanathan sir, and the entire team of Repco, sir. Thank you.
Thank you so much. We have our next question coming in from the line of Anand Mundra of Soar Wealth. Mr. Anand, please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Congratulations on crossing 1,000 crore number, and congratulations on completing the Silver Jubilee also, sir. Sir, just a small request. We have 3,500 crore of net worth, and we are generating 400 crore of PAT. Our dividend payout should be much higher than 20 crore what we are distributing every year, sir. We don't need so much capital, so why we are holding held? Why are you keeping such a high capital and our ROE is suffering, sir? The return on equity ratio, if it crosses 17-18%, it will be very attractive from an investor perspective. So that's a small request. Your thoughts on this, sir?
Hi, Anand. Ankush, for dividend, sequentially, every year we are increasing our dividend payout. On this expectation on higher dividend, we'll certainly convey it to the board and we'll consider in next board. Whatever in future, of course.
Ankush, our payout is only how much? Out of 400 crore PAT, we are distributing only 20 crores. At least we should distribute 25-30% of our PAT generation every year.
Certainly, we take note of your suggestion.
Adding so much capital.
Yes, sir. We have taken note of your suggestions. We will escalate to the board. Coming to the business, yes, you have seen our disbursement in last couple of quarters. Quarter on quarter, our disbursements are going up. BT outs are, prepayments are under control. NPAs are coming down. Our stage two numbers are coming down drastically. So that going forward, our profitability will improve. You can see in improvement in return on equity also.
Noted, sir. Sir, another question is, what is the strategy of buying a portfolio, sir? Because organic growth is much better than buying a portfolio. From that perspective, I wanted to hear from you.
Yes, sir. We are not basing our growth on inorganic purchase, but yes, that is also under consideration, but we will be going basis the guidance on our organic growth. That is going to go strong. But this will be an add-on to whatever we are trying to do. Let us see how the future takes us through, sir.
A couple of years before, we have done three tranches of these kind of assignments. All these books are doing well. So we are having experience, expertise on selecting loan books from other HFCs, NBFCs.
One question, sir, which I wouldn't follow. Sir, what is our AUM target for this financial year, sir?
16,200, sir.
16,200.
Yeah.
So we will add 1,200 crore of book in the next 6 months, sir?
Yes, we are confident, sir.
Okay. So that's a very high number. That will translate to disbursement of more than 1,300 to 1,400 crore per quarter, sir.
And see, if you see that disbursements month on month, quarter on quarter, this is increasing, which will give a confidence that will 16,200 crores is easily doable.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Wish you all the best. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you so much. We'll take our next question from Prithviraj Patil of Investec. Mr. Patil, please go ahead and unmute your microphone.
Thank you for the opportunity. So my first question was, what are the incremental yields that we have in LAP and HL? So that was a question.
Sir, your voice is not audible.
Yeah, am I audible now?
Yes, please.
Yeah, so my first question was, what was the incremental yield in LAP and home loan HL segment? The second question was on the write-off pool. So we've had negative credit costs. So I just wanted to know what is the pool that we have from which we can expect recovery, the quantum of pool that we have. Yeah, so these are the two questions.
Yield in housing loan, we are getting a yield of about 11.17%. And non-housing loan, we are getting a return of 13.55%. What is about the second question?
Oh, yeah. So my second question was, the credit costs are negative since the past few quarters. So I just wanted to know if we have a return off pool from which we can expect recoveries. And if so, what is the quantum of that pool?
See, this year we have got a close to about 6 crores from return of accounts. We are more aggressive on recoveries. We are formed a special cell in corporate office to monitor this return of accounts. So I'm expecting another, say, 8 or 9 crores from current of year from return of accounts.
Sure, sir. And one last question, if you can just repeat the borrowings that were, repeat the amount of borrowings that were floating rate borrowings that are coming due, which would be replaced.
For us, all the borrowings are floating rate,
yes, sir. So,
question is not clear.
So in the opening comments, you had mentioned that certain amounts of borrowings were coming due, which would be, so if you could just repeat that number.
It's about 6,000 crores out of total bank borrowings. Around 6,000 crores are due for reset in next 3 months. So it's false due for reset in next 3 months.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you so much. We'll take our next question from Abhijit Tibrewal of Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead with your question.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yeah, thank you. So I just wanted to ask one question. I remember hearing earlier in the call, you said that disbursement momentum has been improving. And every month, right, we are doing higher disbursements than the previous month. And somewhere, I think you also guided on what we are expecting in terms of disbursements in Q3, Q4. The question here is that historically, right, if I look at the last 4 years, right, and then maybe except COVID period, even before that, Q3 always used to be a relatively lower disbursement quarter for us. Because as you'll appreciate, right, I mean, we have days in end November, early December, right, which are considered inauspicious in southern India, and people don't buy or invest in a property. So what is giving us confidence today that sequentially also from Q2 to Q3 disbursements can be higher?
Yeah, Abhijit, you are right. See, historically, Q3 has been lesser than Q2, but that is exactly what we are working on, breaking the trend. Like we have introduced a lot many channels from the market wherein we want to break from the shackles of erstwhile years and go on with an consistent growth. And yes, that is a challenge for us, but we are working on it and we are confident that we can do it.
Supplement, Mr. Raja, see, during the September quarter ended, our sanctions was close to about 1,206. Whereas we have done only disbursement of about 1,070 odd crore. So there is a gap of about 150 crores gap is there, sanctioned but not disbursed in September quarter alone. In June quarter also, we are having sanctioned but construction cases loans, some disbursements are pending. So that with those numbers, we are confident that achieving of whatever the guidance we have given.
Got it. And then just a follow-up here, sir. While, I mean, congratulations to you and your team for, I mean, demonstrating a healthy momentum in disbursements. What maybe a little bit worries me, right, is that in that zeal to get to a certain target in terms of disbursements and growth, hopefully we are not having to compromise on the underwriting, right, and asset quality. Now, why I ask this is, so your yields have actually improved in a declining rate environment. Every other HFC that we speak to, right, acknowledges that, hey, there is a lot of competitive pressure from banks. And despite that, in an environment like this, if our yields are going up and our disbursements are improving, I am just kind of trying to say that even the underwriting and the asset quality are in place, right, on the incremental book that we are building.
Yeah, suitable underwriting. Yeah, of course, we have improved a lot in the underwriting standard, which is evinced from our performance of new loan book. If you look at delinquencies, NPA in the new loan book, it's almost it's a gross NPA in the loan book is close to about 1.2%. Where compared with old NPA, old book NPA is very, very minimum. So we have improved a lot in underwriting standard in last couple of 4 or 6, 7 quarters. In addition to that, we formed a separate cell in corporate office. It's called a credit review. Once sanction has happened, the credit review team review the sanctions, and they'll after getting a clearance from the review team, only the disbursement will happen. We are having a proper checks and balance. There will not be any dilution in the quality of the asset. Yes, no doubt we want to grow, but at the same time, we will ensure that quality in the growth, also profitability in the growth. That is our primary objective: growth with quality and profitability. We will not compromise quality for the sake of growth. That is a damn sure.
Got it, sir. This is useful, and that's all from my side. I wish you and your team the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. We have our next question coming in from the line of Kiran D from Table Tree Capital.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, many congratulations on a milestone quarter. I echo all other participants' enthusiasm in crossing 1,000 crore. Sir, a couple of questions, one more strategic and the second more financial. The most strategic question is around we've had a lot of US tariff situations. Tamil Nadu is a massive export to the US kind of state. We are 56% to 60% exposed to Tamil Nadu, and most of our customers might be working in one of these textile companies or the engineering companies who are exporting to the US. So in this context, if you could just tell me, in H1, we disbursed totally about 1,900 crore. Out of this disbursement of 1,900 crore, could you tell us how much was home loan and how much was home equity? Because LAP slash home equity is when the stress levels are a little higher. So that's the reason why I'm asking that question. And if you could just explain the overall scenario, what you're seeing on the ground. Obviously, we are reading newspapers, but you will know much more on the ground. So that'd be very helpful.
Kiran, on my housing loan to non-housing loan portfolio, we are maintaining the same ratios of 72 and 28.
So that's on the overall loan book, sir. I'm asking of the last H1, we disbursed 1,800 crore. How much was home loan and how much was home equity?
So it is more or less on the same ratios. Anyway, I'll give you the exact numbers. Maybe a post call, I'll ask my team to share it with you. But I have gone through the numbers. It is more or less the same, a tad here or there, but it is on the same ratios. That is one. And second is, we don't have any concentrated industry-wise exposure. Because for us, because of our branch network in Tamil Nadu and our wide footprint here, we are very, very distributed. And so far, touch wood, we have not faced any issues, as mentioned by you, because of a concentration of industry and export markets.
Got it, sir. That is very helpful. Second, sir, I know we've kind of raised cost to income last couple of quarters, but our return on assets fell from 3.2% to 2.9%. Do you see this going back above three in this declining interest rate environment, or do you continue to see this trending down to 2.5 over the next year to 18 months?
Sir, this return on asset thing, so the major assets which we have
Dispersed.
procured in the last quarters, it started earning revenue only in the next quarter because the majority of the assets added in the final month of September. Return is will be visible in the month of November and December. So the return on asset, we are giving the same guidance, it will be with the 2.9 to 3%.
Okay, for this year, ma'am, I mean, generally
FY 2025.
For this year, this quarter we had some one-off expenditure like celebration of Silver Jubilee
Right.
and all. Going forward, right now is our return on assets is at 2.92%. We can expect it may go up by another 1 or 2 basis points, not more than that, immediately.
Got it, sir. So generally, if I may ask, the return on assets is a combination of many variables. And given the interest rate continues to decline, GST and all that bonanza coming through, if interest rates continue to decline, and given the competitive scenario is like this, should we expect the ROA to
See, if
trend
it
down?
is,
Yeah, how does it
see,
work?
see, all my entire loan assets are, I mean, floating. Whenever I got a cost benefits, it will be passed on to borrowers to retain a good customer, to keep our rates in the competitive. We have to force to reduce the rates and all. Expenditure size, yes, we are exercising more cautious and economy in expenditure. So keeping all those things, another we can see slight improvement in ROI in coming quarter, December quarter end. Around, I'm my this number may go up from 2.92 to 2.95 or something like that in December.
Got it, sir. Got it. Thank you so much, sir. Congratulations and look forward to the 16,000 crore milestone this year.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. We have our next question coming in from Varun Dubey of Share India Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for giving me time to ask you a question and congratulations on your Silver Jubilee. Sir, just wanted a clarification on the total AUM that you said that 16,000 is the amount for FY 26 and 25,000 is for FY 27, and your company is also going to do some book purchases. So just wanted to understand whether this figure includes the book purchases or this is excluding the book purchases.
For this financial year, the guidance is 16,000 crores. And for the financial year of FY 28, we are looking at the said milestone of 25,000 crore. And whatever number we are talking about is inclusive of organic and inorganic. Have I answered your question?
FY 26, the 16,000 crore, that excludes the inorganic, right?
No, that also includes inorganic as well.
We are not going for any book buying for current financial year. It may around 30 to 40 crore kind of book we are planning to buy. Not in a big way. We want to start
Okay.
that. We want to explore that avenue also.
Okay. So that would be in the 25,000 crore for FY 28, right?
Correct.
Other than this, just wanted to know the disbursement number for the Q4. I think so you said 1350 to 1400 crore, right? Okay. Sir, what would be the overall reduction in the cost of funds? I mean, because you're going to be citing. Hello?
There's a lot of background noise, Varun. We are not able to decipher very clearly. Sorry.
One second, sir. Sir, just wanted to know because the around 6,000 crore of book would be repriced in this quarter. So, how much would be the reduction in cost of funds for Q3?
Not 10 to 15 bps reduction, it's actually around 8.63. Going forward, we expect another 10 to 15 basis points.
Okay. 10 to 15 bits for Q3, you mean to say?
Q3, Q4, put together, I'm telling, for this financial year. We are getting repriced from the banks.
See, actually, 6,000 crores is due for repricing in next, it's false due for next repricing next 3 months. Keeping these things, we are expecting around 10 to 15 basis points reduction in cost of fund in next 2 quarters.
Okay, sir. So you said about, yes, sir, I got it. You said about opening new branches in the current financial year. How much would that be, new branches?
Yeah, we are looking at another 10 to 15 more branches, which is in the already in the offing. So this financial year, we may be adding another 10 more branches.
Out of these 10 more branches, 4 or 5 branches will be in the west, and 2 or 3 branches will be in the state of Karnataka. AP and Telangana, remaining will be in Tamil Nadu.
Okay, fair enough, sir. So just last one question. You said about the BT out rate that is normal when compared to the last quarter. So what is the bounce rate for this quarter?
Bounce rate, right now I don't have exact numbers. I'll discuss in offline.
Okay, will do, sir. Thank you very much. Once again, congratulations for your service.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. We have our next question coming in from Prashant Kumar of Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead with your question.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, sir. So, am I audible?
Yeah.
Yes. So, my question again on borrowing side, actually, commercial borrowing, which is the largest portion of total borrowing, have been gradually declining. However, the cost of finance from Repco has increased. In this quarter, it is stable, but increased significantly from Q4. So, could you provide some color on this?
Yeah, so their bank, the cost of fund of Repco banks depends on their cost of funds. We started to prepay Repco bank facility during this last quarter. We repaid about 200 crores to them. We are requested them to reduce the cost of funds. We are having a plan to reduce exposures with Repco bank by availing lower cost fund from other banking system.
Okay, so
other banks as well as NHB. Last this quarter, September quarter, from July to September, we have prepaid about 200 crores. This quarter, I'm having a plan to prepay another 300 to 400 crores kind of thing to Repco Bank. I want to reduce the exposures with Repco Bank.
Okay, and even the portion is not significant, although, but yes. Yeah. And my second question is, going forward, what will be the cost to income on an annual basis? Can we expect income growth to outpace the expenses and remain restricted to around 27 to 28% annually?
We can see some improvement. Is right now our cost to income ratio is about 26.34%. Some one-off expenditure we had incurred in September quarter, because of that we have seen reduction in cost of fund. Yes, our loan books are growing, disbursements are happening, loan books are growing. So we can see improvement in cost to income ratio is going forward.
Okay. Thanks, sir. That's it from my side.
Thank you so much. We have our next question coming in from Anand Mundra of Soar Wealth.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for giving me opportunity. So what is our DSS sourcing?
Uh,
Yes, sir. The DSA sourcing channel has paid very good for us, and it has helped in our growth momentum. Yes, we are also taking care of the cost of that sourcing channel, and we are building now. We are in line with building our own internal team to supplement the same. We are working on it, and DSA has worked good for us also, sir.
Sir, any numbers if you can recollect, sir, in terms of
say that the sourcing break between DSA and non-DSA is almost 48 and 52.
Okay, understood, sir. Okay, yeah. One more thing: if from equity investor perspective, higher the growth, the better the valuation is. So, if we purchase the portfolio, our AUM will grow. But next year, growth will drop as the base of the AUM will be higher and our disbursement size would be similar. So from that perspective, if our disbursement doesn't move to 2,000 to 3,000 crore per quarter, and if we purchase the AUM, our growth will further go down, sir. So just a suggestion, a thought for you to consider before buying a large portfolio, sir.
Sure, sir.
And sir, one last suggestion, sir, since it's a silver jubilee, though I already mentioned my point regarding dividend from long-term perspective, since it's a silver jubilee, you can consider giving some special dividend to shareholders, sir.
Sir, we already given, sir.
Mr. Mundra, we have already declared interim dividend for this year for silver jubilee.
Yeah, sir. We are earning 80 rupees per year. We are giving 2.5 rupees interim dividend, sir. So I'm just saying, sir, you don't have much capital from that perspective.
Right. Thank you. Your views are noted. We'll convey it to board, sir. Thank you.
Sir, my whole purpose is the ROE should move to 18% from that perspective, I'm saying. Otherwise, I can sell my share and create cash.
Yes, sir. We are working on that only. Very soon, you can see improvement, better ROE.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you so much. We have Mr. Rajiv Mehta asking his question now. Please go ahead. Mr. Mehta, please unmute your microphone.
Yeah, am I audible enough?
Yes, please.
Yeah, sir, just last two, three things from my side and then maybe we can end. Sir, firstly, can you tell us the average tenor of LAP loans and home loans that you are disbursing?
In respect of home loans, as per credit policy, I can go up to 25 years. But if you look at
the experiential
average tenure at the time of sanctioning is about close to 14 to 15 years. Actual life of my HL is close to about 8.5 years to 9 years.
Okay. And what about non-home loan LAP?
Yes. Non-HL also I can go up to 15 years as against 25 years for HL. The average tenure of non-HL at the time of origination is close to about 8 to 9 years.
And the actual experience is what?
Experience is about 6 to 6.5 years in case of non-HL.
Correct. And average ticket sizes for both in disbursements?
See, at a book level, it is 13 lakhs. And incremental, now we are at 21, 22 lakhs ka average ticket size. So both products. Both put together, yes.
No, can you give us separate ticket sizes for...
See, almost similar kind of thing. We have not seen much variations between HL and non-HL.
Okay.
Incrementally 13 lakhs. Simple logic. Incrementally, it's about 13 lakhs. Overall book, it is about 13 lakhs. Incrementally, about 23 to 24 lakhs. It's the same for HL as well as non-HL.
Sorry, you said incremental average ticket size is 23, 24 lakhs for both? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. And are incentives different for LAP and home loan for the employees?
No, it is the same, Rajiv. We only look at the overall disbursement and the incentive structure is same for both the products and it is in line with the market. That's how we have structured it.
Okay, then what is the reason that LAP as a proportion of the book has been growing much faster. The lab book in absolute terms has been growing at about 30-40%. When I look at the lab growth, lab portfolio growth in the last 2 years, it's roughly 40%. And when I look at home loan portfolio growth in the last 2 years, it is just 8%. So if the incentives are same, right, then why the growth rates are so different between home loan and lab?
Rajiv, if I can take it. Say, when I say non-housing loan, it is not pure lab for me. Because within non-housing loan, LAP is only 7-8%. Balance all, we have CRE, we have mixed use, we have certain commercial buildings, we have multi-tenanted properties. So that is what is now increasing with me. And it is also helping in my yield.
That NHB also received a couple of months before they came with the clarifications that loans given for the purpose of a reimbursement thing, we should classify as a non-HL. Earlier, we used to classify such a loans as a housing loan. Now, as per the NHB clarifications and advices, such loans are classified as a non-HL. Though it is given for the purpose of housing, as per the directions we are giving, we are classifying as a non-HL, number one. Three kitchen units, a loan given to construct a house with three kitchen units. Earlier, we used to classify as a HL. Now, NHB guidelines are very strict, the directions are very strict. We are classifying such loans are non-HL. Because of that, our non-HL portion is going up. The majority of the, if you bifurcate non-HL portions, I can say almost around out of 23-24%, 16-17% loans given for the purpose of housing. But because of regulator guidelines, we are classifying such loan as a non-housing loan. Remaining things only for the purpose of pure other non-HL.
Okay. No, I was just thinking that when I look at the portfolio rundown rate, portfolio runoff rate, that has been increasing in the last 3 quarters. And which is why, despite we increasing disbursements, our growth rate in the loan book has been a little bit kind of got constrained because of higher rundowns. You are saying that BT out has not gone up. So then the natural rundown of the book has changed. And that is because the non-HL proportion of the loans has actually gone up, and which is having a life of 6.5 years versus an HL life of 8.5-9 years. So this will be a structural thing, right? So your rundown will naturally be higher now in the coming quarters as well. So even if you were to grow your disbursements to 1100 crore, 1200 crore, your book accretion will remain slightly limited by it, right?
Yeah, you are right, Rajiv. That is a challenge we are facing on day in and day out. Going forward also, yes, my book attrition will happen, but we'll have to run fast even to be in the same place, yes.
Okay, got that. And just one last thing on this ECL and write-off thing. Are we done with all the realignment as far as, the coverage on stage 3 is concerned? And on the fact that whatever had to be cleaned up is already cleaned up?
Yeah, right now our provision coverage ratio is 52.5%. You know well that for HFC and NBFCs, there is no specific mandate from regulator to maintain PCR. We are very comfortable. Of course, our bankers are very comfortable with the existing, 52% provision coverage ratios.
And just the write-off bit, are the write-offs will continue at the current rate, or the write-off was a one-time accelerated exercise which should end now?
You can see some more write-off in next one or two, December quarter as well as March quarter.
Okay, I'm done. Back to the operator, and maybe we can end the call since the management has some other thing. Yeah.
Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand it over to the management team for their closing remarks.
Yes, sir. We are extending our sincere gratitude to all the investors, analysts, and credit rating agencies
of our continuous support. We will meet in next con call. Thank you.
Thank you so much. On behalf of Yes Securities Limited, that concludes today's conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now click on the leave icon to exit the meeting. Thank you for your participation.